Hey, everybody. Welcome to Spotlight on Maryland. It's your host for the next half hour or so, Gina Crash, and I'm really excited to introduce you to my guest. I am joined today by Emily Emmerich. She is the executive director of Ledoux Topiary Gardens right in Moncton, Maryland. Good morning, Emily. How you doing?
Good morning, Gina. I am delighted and better day for talking to you.
Oh, my gosh. It's so much fun. We've been wanting to have you on for so long, and I just I looked you up on LinkedIn to follow you, and I noticed that you've been at Ledoux Topiary Gardens since March of 2001. That's amazing.
That is a really, really long time, and I live right down the street. So I say to my friends, I haven't gone very far, but it's a nice place to be.
It certainly is. And so you've been through and seen a lot, and now in the era of COVID-19, you and I are both on the phone, and we're, you know, being socially distant and all that good stuff. But I imagine, like, after you started in March 2001, you probably started, and then it was 9/11, and then how does that kind of compare to what we're going through now in the pandemic? You had an early challenge, and now you've got all the experience, and now you're leading, you know, Ledoux Topiary Gardens during the time of a pandemic. That's got to be, maybe you kind of borrowed from some of those skills you learned early on, right?
You know, it's a really interesting question, and I have been delighted at the role that Ledoux can play. You're right. September 11th happened shortly after I took this job, and we, like everyone else, had absolutely no idea what to expect. Our visitation spiked after September 11th. I think people just desperately needed a place to be outside, to reflect, to be with nature, to be with their families. And it was a spike, but nothing like we have seen now. We were closed from April 1st until early June. And then we opened very slowly. We have all the COVID protocols in place, and we were testing them out. Then began to bring members back, and then we opened to the general public. We've changed where our admission is, and we've closed all the buildings. But the gardens and the nature walk and the butterfly house have been extraordinarily popular, and it's such a rewarding feeling to be a part of something that's helpful to people now. You know, I think all of us have had those moments where we thought, you know, what can I do right now? How can I help? I'm not a nurse. I'm not going to put on my PPEs and save people's lives, but the feedback I'm getting from people now, and this is, you know, to the tune of 250 more people a day than we usually see.
Wow.
Which we can easily absorb because we have, the visitors are coming into about 70 acres of our property. It's been a remarkable thing. And 75% of these people are new to Ledoux. So who would have figured, but it's been incredibly wonderful. And I help out. We're all sort of taking different roles, and I help out one day a week. And at the end of the shift on Monday, I was in the parking lot waving goodbye to people as they were pulling out and, you know, down to the last person.
That's fantastic. Every handshake. Well, actually, no, I guess we can't shake
hands anymore.
No. But like
waving from a distance.
Right. But no, that's the way to do it. And what do you attribute that to? I mean, obviously the beautiful, you know, nature and the fact that it's outside and people feel much more comfortable outside and they're already cooped up doing Zoom everything, school, work, you name it, meetings, virtual this and that and events. And you think that's part of the attraction is that it's just so open, so beautiful and so serene, and you know, you can zone out a little bit, right?
Absolutely. I think it's the outdoor thing. We also have on our webpage, you can download a scavenger hunt for kids. A lot of the children that are coming here have been part of our field trips in the past. Some of them are bringing their parents who've never come before. So we'll see kids that have been in camps here or done school field trips here, who are dragging their parents along somewhat reluctantly when they arrive, and then they completely get into it. I mean, it's definitely a family thing. But
yeah.
I think you're right. I think it's just a lot of them have told me they've Googled things to do outside.
That's very important. And you know, it's funny, you've had such a surge in guests, and that's even with your website under construction. It's going to get even better than ever, which is ledouxgardens.com. But you can still find information on the page. It just says, hey, we're working on even more stuff. And you're also saying that people can visit your Facebook page, right, for some of the latest
info.
Exactly.
And the Facebook page has been a wonderful place to post pictures daily of the gardens. We get a lot of questions about what's in bloom. We also have videos on our Facebook page we have a rescue turtle that is a box turtle. So we have a day, Tully Tuesdays are dedicated to the box turtle, which kids and adults love. And then on Wednesdays, we have Wildlife Wednesdays. And we have a video cam down on our nature walk, and we have shared some really wonderful night videos of the animals that wander around the quarry and in our nature walk woods.
That is so cool.
You
know,
here.
I'll tell you what, that panda in D.C.'s got nothing on the box turtle, you know?
Exactly.
I mean,
Tully's not as cuddly as a panda, but still,
Right. Well, tell us, for those that don't know or just discovering you, you know, in the pandemic or wherever down the street from you in Moncton, let us know a little bit about the history of Ladue Topiary Gardens, because I know it is one that is rich in history.
It is. So in 1929, Harvey Ladue, who was a New York socialite and a big fox hunter, you know, on horses, on running through the natural surroundings of his property in New York.
Yeah, I could picture like those hunt prints that people have up, you know, in their study or something. It's
very fancy. And they are still active here, although I think it's considered more fox chasing now. I don't know. They don't hunt them in England. I think that it was something that the farmers asked them to do out here. It's more of a fox chase. But that's what drew Ladue down here in 1929. And he purchased a farm directly north of the Elkridge-Harford Hunt Club, where he hunted. And he had traveled the world as a child with his parents, very precocious kid, inside of all these historic homes and visiting beautiful gardens. And he found this property, he fixed up the house, and then he started on the gardens. Amateur gardener, really just in love with the art of gardening, not professionally trained. And the end result is 22 acres of formal gardens, which include 15 garden rooms. And by garden rooms, I mean spaces dedicated to a specific type of plant or a specific color of plant. And all these rooms are featuring topiaries. So topiary is the shaping of plant material. So at Ladue, we have sculptures shaped out of plant material, a very well-known fox hunt. So we have two riders on horses chasing hounds across the lawn, and then there's a fox very safely, permanently in the distance. And then we have sculptures within the gardens, walls, doors, windows. He was thick with folly, that man, and he really created this incredible property that is all surrounding something called the Great Bowl, which is where we have our summer concert series when it's not COVID time, which is a huge bowl in the center of the gardens with a pool in the middle of it, a reflecting pool.
That's gorgeous. And he had a nice long life, too. He was with us up until 1976, right?
He was here until 76, and he put the property in a nonprofit. He created the foundation that created Ladue in 1971. So next year, we will be officially 50 years old as a nonprofit.
Wow, congratulations. That's fantastic.
You.
Are you planning, provided that we have a vaccine and everyone's getting somewhat back to normal by then, are you planning something huge, I would imagine?
You know what? We are, having learned that we can welcome and celebrate with people, we are planning to build up and celebrate at all of our existing events, including the Garden Glow, which I'm sure we're going to talk about.
Oh,
but
yeah,
just celebrating the preservation, the inspiration, and the education that has been Ladue for 50 years.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's such a local gem and a great time to visit right now, as you had highlighted earlier. You also, how are you handling your educational programming right now as well?
Educational programs and all of our special events for this year, from the spring on until now, were canceled. However, we have gone virtual for the first time. So our lecture series is underway, and it's virtual for the first time. And we have found that we've changed the hours a little bit because now we have a national audience. People on the West Coast are joining us for our fabulous collection of speakers, and they talk about everything from horticulture to garden design to environmental science and the environment to arts and culture, which reflects the house and its collection.
Oh, wow.
So that's been very fun. And then we are hoping to fire back up our programs next year. It's a great benefit to be outside, and all of us, you know, I keep hearing that we're all in this together, and boy, is that true.
Mm-hmm.
I think the idea of figuring out how to go on with our lives in a safe way is all of our task, and next year, you know, we may be in masks and we may be further apart, but, you know, we've got a lot of acreage here, so we
yeah.
can figure that out.
We could safely social distance at
exactly.
Ladue Topiary Gardens for sure, but you mentioned real quick Garden Glow 2020. I know you have some other events coming up, like for Christmas and stuff, but Garden Glow is in October, right? So is that, you think we should kick off with talking about that?
Garden Glow, well, yes, and it's funny that this call was scheduled today because when I was talking to visitors who were leaving on Monday, one mother came up to me and said, "Garden Glow, just please tell me Garden Glow." And I made that face that all of us have made to each other about things that have been canceled. And then I told her it was virtual, and she was thrilled. So
good.
What we're going to do is go virtual with Garden Glow this year. We are getting, thanks to our dear friends at Klein ShopRite, 300 pumpkins. And we are going to ask our community to take these pumpkins, carve these pumpkins, photograph these pumpkins, and we are going to create an hour-long virtual Garden Glow on October 24th. It's going to be free to everyone, and it is going to be a collection of images of our incredible art-inspired, community-engaged event that we have had for the last 2 years, including pumpkins carved by members of our community and by some special guests who we are engaging shortly. So we want everybody to be a part of this. This has been by far our most popular community event. Probably concerts are always joyful here, but Garden Glow, we have been floored by the response, and we didn't want to lose that energy this year. It'll be a fun way for people to celebrate the season, and you can check in and see what surprising faces and what interesting pumpkins may show up during the virtual Garden Glow.
I love it. And those special guests, will you be rolling out that announcement as we get closer to Garden Glow on October 24th?
We're going to have more information available on a regular basis. We'll have Facebook posts and information out to the broader community. If you're a member of the Ladue community already and getting communications from us, those will continue. If you'd like to learn more about Garden Glow and you're not currently a member of the Ladue community, go on our webpage. You can join, and the important thing about becoming a member at Ladue is that our members get the tickets for Garden Glow first when they go on sale every year.
Ooh.
Last year, we had 4,000 people. 2,000 people for two nights. It's sold out for both evenings. So one of the benefits of membership is being a first person to be invited to Garden Glow.
Yeah, you don't want to miss that for sure. And the money,
exactly.
The money that you raise when people normally get tickets and stuff and support it virtually this year, where does that go? I imagine, you know, maintaining your beautiful grounds and all that stuff. So like, what, like, just so people can feel good about where their money's going. You know, what kind of things can that help you with?
Oh, well, maintaining 22 acres of gardens, mile and a half long nature walk, a 1850s manor house, and all of its outbuildings, and running the programs that we do for Ladue, including our educational programs. We have a section, a group of schools that come in from the counties and the city who can't afford to pay for admission. So we do have funds that we cover admission for our Title I school participants. So contributions to Ladue and our budget every year has been about $2.5 million. Contributions through events like this do a lot to keep the gardens looking beautiful, to feed Tully the turtle, to take care of the nature walk, to bring children and families in for educational programs.
That's so, so important. And how else can people support Ladue? How do they become a member? And tell us about it. I know you have different levels of membership, and let us know kind of that little breakdown about how, what that entitles you to, and each of the levels. And, you know, I'm sure there's something for everybody. Not everybody can be at the tip top, but, you know, there's, I'm sure, certain levels that people can get a lot out of that.
Absolutely. Individual memberships are $55, and then for dual memberships, so families that may not have a traditional mother and father and children, we have had a dual membership relationship with our members for ages to allow people to come in and have two people covered. Family memberships are $100, and that is everybody in the household under 18, and they get guest passes to bring in friends for those. All members get a discount at our gift shop, which we hope will be open again when we open in April of next year. They get a discount on just about all of our events. There are a few exceptions of the ones that are more expensive for us to operate, but almost all of our events, and most importantly, they get free admission all year long. So above the family, above the individual, dual, and family membership, there are several other that have additional benefits. People can look at those at www.ladugardens.com, and they can join there. But I tell you, there is, and I'm sure you know this from your experience working with all these nonprofits that you support, there is no gift too small.
Oh, absolutely. You're right. You're right. Every dollar counts. Everything you can give.
Absolutely.
And even the awareness, you know, just like us talking today and like shedding light on what you do. That's the whole nature of Spotlight on Maryland. And you're right. We do talk to hundreds of nonprofits a year. And it's really honestly the most rewarding thing that I do, because you feel like you said, like we might not be, you know, doctors and first responders and things like that. But we can play a role in this way to sort of help people through all this together, as you said. Now, your gift shop being closed, understandably, do you have any kind of online marketplace type thing, or is that part of the new website that's coming out?
We do have a Facebook presence. So you can join our Facebook page and link, our gift shop is promoted on the Facebook page. So if you go to our Facebook page, you can find there, and there are features every week. We may be having a tent sale or two in the gardens before the season is over. Once again, we want to be very careful about not gathering too many people in one place. So we're trying to do this as safely as possible. But the cafe is fabulous, and we'll be up open again to the public with a full, wonderful garden and environment and history-related inventory when we open again next year.
Doesn't this make you appreciate what a gem, even at, like, you know, the capacity that you're able to operate now safely for everyone's public interest, is the fact that it's so gorgeous, and it's just going to make you want to be that much more excited when you can welcome all of these components that you've been missing back. It's like you realize, looking back, how much you offer, you know?
Oh, no. I mean, we have, in a normal year, 133 events and programs. That's what we had in 2019. The thing that I have found so heartwarming is without those this year, we have seen this incredible influx of people that have discovered us and found us. So it is, I'm glad we're here. I'm glad we're able to be a resource for the broader community. And I'm really delighted that we're going to be able to do something fun, both having the lectures up and going this year and having Garden Glow up and going. And we do have an art exhibit this year up until the 31st of October of the work of Laura Amason, who's a local Baker Awards winning sculptor. Her work is out in the meadow, and we will have an art show and sale featuring the work of Clay Works, because we had partnered with them this year, and they have made some beautiful ceramics that are inspired by Ledoux. So we continue. It's different, but we're continuing to move forward and really looking forward to 2021.
Oh, absolutely. So how do you pick the different, for those, the show and the exhibit like you were talking about, how do you pick the folks that you're going to highlight? Like, do they come to you, or are they, you know, how do you pick?
Because it goes in both directions. Some people reach out to us, and then there is a committee. The group that puts together the art exhibits, every year we have a sculptor here, and we have an artist in residence, and that's handled by a group of local artists, many who have shown here before, called the Arts in Our Gardens Committee. And they have some great folks. Next year we're going to have a bronze sculptor, Clayton Bright, and a woman who does unbelievably beautiful pressed flowers and leaves under the name Blackwell Botanicals. Her name is Ann Thompson. She will be our artist in residence. And then the following year, we're going to have local sculptor Sam Holmes, who you've seen his work. His most obvious sculpture that I've seen recently is right behind the Science Center downtown, right off that beautiful, colorful sculpture right behind the Science Center down off of Key Highway.
Yeah.
So we're delighted to have him joining us. And it's a fun thing. You know, Harvey Ledoux was not great. I shouldn't say that necessarily, but he was a dedicated artist, and he was a collector of art. Topiary is sculpture. It's the sculpture of a living thing. So being able to have art outside and in the gardens, it just adds a whole new element for people who are coming here. And I do think there have been people who have come here to see the sculpture and have discovered Ledoux, and there have been people who have come here to see Ledoux and have discovered the sculpture.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we were hoping for.
And it's so majestic. Do you find in this era of social media, which definitely you guys utilize with your Facebook page, and I have an Instagram account as well that's very scenic, do people, I'm sure they are able to take really cool selfies, right?
Absolutely.
You know, with the backdrop of Ledoux Topiary Gardens is gorgeous. You know,
yes, you can Google that. And Ledoux is all over the place. And the only thing, back in the day, museums used to say to people, please, no photographs. And now the smart ones say, please, mention us.
Yeah, tag us, you know, put the location services on there. Yep. I mean, every little word of mouth really, really helps these days. And we've had to become a lot more savvy with that kind of stuff lately, for sure. So that helps a ton. How are you handling, like, volunteers in this time of COVID-19? And is that something you still do? And do you have existing ones that you've sort of adapted what they can do? Or how can somebody that's listening to this program this morning that's interested in possibly doing that get involved in some way that's, you know, safe to do so?
We have, a lot of our volunteers have stood down this year because many of them are involved in giving garden tours to groups that are coming in, giving house tours and helping us with our events. And because the house is closed to the public this year, and because we haven't had any of our events, many of them are not engaged currently. We do have a crew of garden volunteers. We have protocols for all staff here for COVID, and all of our volunteers sign the same protocol and have been coming out and working with us. Our principle here for safety is that you just assume that you have it and assume that everyone else you deal with has it, and it allows you to pay attention to those 6 feet and your mask, and we've done very well with this. I've discovered that for the garden volunteers who have come back, it's really important to them to be here and to have something to do. They've missed it. So we're looking forward to being able to extend that and bring the rest of our crew back. We do have volunteer open houses in the spring every year, and we'll have them again next year. So people can go onto the website and look under volunteers and link to Sophie, who is our person who handles recruiting new volunteers, and we can get back to them and find out what they might be interested in doing.
I love that Sophie, we're on a first name basis with Sophie.
There you go.
And for sure, people can go to ledouxgardens.com. What are some of the things that you're going to be featuring on the new website as it's under construction to make it even bigger and better? There's certain things that you can tell us about, any of the surprises that are coming online-wise?
Well, I will tell you one thing about our old website is that it had been created in the early years, and it was not as user-friendly, which we're delighted to have now. And we also have so many spectacular new images, including images of Garden Glow, to be able to really give people a feel for the experience of coming to Ledoux as they're planning. In addition, all of our programs and events are included in there. People can link on to buy tickets. They can get directions for purchase of admission tickets. And it does have, it has had and it will have just some information about the history of the property, so you have a little bit of a sense of what you're coming to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're very unique with 22 acres of formal gardens and then the counterpoint of a mile and a half long nature walk, which is wild, and a native butterfly house, which is a combination because it's a controlled atmosphere but with native butterflies and caterpillars, and then a beautiful manor house. So they're not many places that have that kind of assortment of options.
And you're
sometimes
right.
People like to plan before they come so that they can get all of that in.
Yeah, I think you can do it. I guess you could do it all in a day, or you could just keep coming back.
There you go. We like that.
That's awesome. And as we're getting into like the final minutes of our interview here, is there any anything else that we need to cover, like people that you want to thank? I know you don't do it alone, or sort of a real quick recap of some upcoming things and sort of like your goals that and what we can most help you with to accomplish those goals. And if you feel like you might be on a job interview right now with your 5-year plan, but
I love that. As we get ready to celebrate our 50th anniversary, we are so appreciative to all the people that have kept this place initially afloat when this man had a dream that he'd like people to come see his garden, and now a wonderful resource for 50,000 people a year from this area and surrounding states who come to visit Ladue. We thank them for their membership. We thank people for their contributions every year. We are delighted with the volunteers that are willing to be committed to the organization year after year. We could not do, I think we last year calculated that if we were paying our volunteers a minimum wage, we would be paying something like $250,000 a year. So they are incredibly important to us. I am very appreciative for my staff who have worked under very difficult circumstances this year. And I know that they all appreciate all of the outreach and all of the people that have continued to find us and find Ladue valuable to them. And I encourage you to find out more about Garden Glow and join us on the 24th. Get a cup of tea, glass of wine, whatever you choose, and get a peek at what this thing has been and what we hope it will be for us when we celebrate our 50th next year.
That's huge. And Garden Glow 2020, again, that's October 24th. So that is coming up and people can participate. They can get more information as well at LadueGardens.com, also on your Facebook page for the latest info and Instagram. And is there anybody like that, you know, other nonprofits that you kind of look to for advice, or has there been anyone else that's been like really helpful to partner with through this that kind of understands what you're going through at, you know?
Well, absolutely. Ladue is a member of the American Association of Public Gardens. So nationally, that is our group of people that have all been going through this together. We watched them take their national meeting virtual for the first time this year. So they've had the growing pains, and we've been watching them. We're delighted at Garden Glow. We hope to have Irvine with us, and we hope to have the Bug Man with us. So we have a lot of partnerships with our fellow environmental education organizations. The Creative Alliance, one of our art advocate partners, Maryland Art Place, who we're delighted with, and then all of our sponsors, all of the corporations and foundations who have been supporting Ladue for so long. Specifically for Garden Glow, it would be Harford County Tourism and the Baltimore Commission of Arts and Sciences, and Visit Harford most specifically, who has stuck with us for this very hard year, and we're delighted for their support. BG&E, Kinsley, and BIG and Asset Strategy. All of those guys, all those corporate supporters of this event are incredibly important to us, and we look forward to celebrating them when we have Garden Glow on the 24th.
That's fantastic. October 24th, and thank you for getting all those sponsors in and mentioning our friends at Irvine Nature Center who have been on this program as well.
Yay, they're fabulous.
Yes, they certainly are, and so are you. Emily Emmerich, we've been talking to this half hour, Executive Director of Ladue Topiary Gardens in Moncton. It's beautiful. Check them out online, LadueGardens.com, and on Facebook and social media, and we look forward to talking to you again. You know, the invitation is welcome to come back anytime, Emily.
Thank you so much. Come to us, and we're sending you a pumpkin.
Yay, thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Take care.
I'll get working on it. All right, you guys, thank you for listening, and this has been a production of Entercom Baltimore.
Terrific, thank you.
Thanks, Emily.